She is on the committee for Expressions from Beautiful Minds. And I'm going to have her talk about that. Then I have Mr. Jim Duffy, and he is a caregiver, and he takes care of his wife. And you really, these two humans are so interesting. I want everyone to pay attention. They have such an incredible story, and it really boils down to love. That's the way I feel. It's boiling down to love and having someone in your life who has this horrible illness, which is called Alzheimer's. So I'm also, we'll have another guest who will be coming. So Marge, could you start off, honey, and talk to us about the Arts and Humanities Council of Charlotte County and the Expression from Beautiful Minds?
I would love to. Thank you so much, Dr. Triana. Pleasure to be here. Expressions from Beautiful Minds, this will be our third year, is in conjunction with the Arts and Humanities Council and people from all over the community. The purpose is to help create additional dementia art programs here in Charlotte County. So the money that we raise at our events goes to provide train-the-trainer classes for facilities like assisted living facilities, adult daycares, and to individual caregivers, because unfortunately, with many of our Alzheimer's and dementia patients, they lose the ability to communicate. And people who have never been able to paint or draw all of a sudden can create the most amazing artwork. And it's how they express themselves when they can't do it verbally. And that's how we came up with the name Expressions from Beautiful Minds. So we train trainers, we provide the supplies for them, and they work with their loved ones or the people that are in their care to create these beautiful pieces of artwork, which we then auction off, which creates more money to create more programs.
And I actually met Marge because I was asked to be a model, which is one of their fundraisers. And they're going to, and I know you'll talk later about the benefit that's being done in April. But when I asked Marge, Marge, tell me your personal experience, because I know you talked about your mother.
Yes, my mother had Alzheimer's, as did my father-in-law. His was a while ago, but he actually was institutionalized for 14 years in a state facility. Things have come a long, long way since then with the nursing homes and the secured units and people that are trained to deal with dementia. It makes a big difference. My mother passed away 5 years ago. It's hard to watch your loved one become someone that when you look at them physically, that's my mom.
Yes.
But intellectually, emotionally, it's not the same person. You can't get to the person inside. And I think that's one of the reasons why when Pam Keller asked me to sit on this committee for Expressions from Beautiful Minds, I jumped at the chance. Short-term memory is the thing that goes. And I can remember bringing my mom home on Sunday afternoons and we'd sit and we'd watch TV, and she loved the Turner Movie Channel. So the last Sunday I had her home, we were watching Teacher's Pet with Clark Gable and Doris Day.
Oh, and I'm a movie buff, so I love old movies.
You remember that one?
Yes. I do. She reached over and she put her hand on my arm. She goes, "Oh, Margie, Clark's really starting to show his age."
Oh.
And I said, "Well, yeah, Ma, he's been dead for about 50 years. "Oh, no." I said, "Yeah, really?" And she said, "Doris really looks good, though. Don't you think so?" So your conversations are very, very different. You have to kind of sit back and let them take the lead because they're not in the same place at the same time as you are in their heads.
You know, that role reversal, when you are, and Mr. Duffy, Jim, you're going to talk about your wife, but when you have a relationship with a person and that's your mother and all through life you look up to them, and then all of a sudden, and they took care of you because your mother.
Sure.
And then you now take care of your mother. That's a tremendous change.
It is, but I have to say, I was very blessed because my parents adopted me when I was 9 months old. So I wouldn't be who I am, what I am, or where I am if it hadn't been for them. It is a role reversal. She used to say, "I think you're forgetting who's the mother and who's the daughter." But it was worth it. I mean, there are days when you want to pull your hair out, and the last thing you want to do is have to spend five more minutes in the room. But then you take a step back and you say, you know what? There's going to come a day when she's not here, and I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
And you do.
Yes, I understand. And I want to remind anyone who wants to maybe reach out to us and join our conversation at 206-1580 about Alzheimer's, dementia, what your experience. We're going to talk about, too, some of the resources. But I wanted to ask Jim, I know you're a caregiver. Could you tell us your story? You said your wife was diagnosed in 2005.
Yes, she was. And we decided at that point that we would try to do all the things that we had planned to do when we retired. And we knew we weren't going to be able to do a lot of them, but we felt, hey, let's get them done if we can get them done. So we went on a lot of cruises. We moved to Florida. We took some big steps, but we realized that, and we moved, incidentally, from Delaware. But we had the opportunity to come down, and she wanted to stay. And it was really funny because for 10 years I've been trying to get her to Florida because the doctors told her that, hey, your RSD will be helped with the Florida weather. It's another disease that she has. But the point is, we did that. And, of course, our kids were kind of bent out of shape a little bit. But I explained to them, I said, look, it's our choice to do this. And, yes, it does separate us from the family. But at the same time, we're doing what your mother wants to do. And that's the important thing. And they understood that very well.
So she realized she was going to be, when she, told me the first she started losing her short-term memory. Did she realize that and then realize that it was going to progress? How did she deal with that?
Well, she dealt with it like she dealt with the RSD that she had previously. Well, still has. But the point is, we sat there and we talked a number of times. And we tried to discuss things all through our married life, the everyday things.
Right.
And we always came to a mutual conclusion. We tried to anyway. I didn't win all the arguments, but that happens. But yes, she understood that her, and the reason she understood it is because we had a history with Alzheimer's. Her mother and her father both had dementia. And so we dealt with it. And mm-hmm. So she realized what was coming.
What about your mom, Marge? Did she realize?
No, she never did. She knew something wasn't right after a while. She actually was living independently. And I think one of the important things for people, especially if you're not living in the home like Jim is with his wife, people who start to realize that something's not quite right, compensate. I worked in a skilled nursing facility where we dealt with patients with dementia every day. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad that's not my mom. If anything were ever to come up like that, I'll be the first one to notice. Well, we didn't. And we didn't for a long, long time until she ran into some problems. But she'd say, you know what, Margie? Something's not right. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, I can't remember things. And I said, it's a perfect part of aging, Mom. We all get forgetful as we get older. I'm getting older. I'm forgetting. Oh, okay. So she was very accepting at that point. Just knowing my mom and her personality, having told her that she had Alzheimer's would not have been in her best interest. She would not have been able to cope. So as caregivers, you have to know that person well enough to know how to deal with them because all kinds of behaviors come along with it and everybody's different.
Right. I understand that. And I know, Jim, you said you're a 24-hour caregiver.
Yes.
So even just to, like, come here, or you said, tell me what you said about respite care. What is respite care?
Respite care is the opportunity to have a 3 or 4 hour of relief for both parties. It gives my wife an opportunity to compete with people who are in the same position that she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she has an opportunity to do what she feels like doing. They run all kinds of different things. And most of them are art related, but at the same time, they do play games and things like that to keep mixing things up. And she has an enjoyable time, and there's no pressure. With me, it gives me 3 or 4 hours to get the bills done, to start the wash, to think about making dinner and all that good stuff. But I want to mention something that I've tried, and it seems to be pretty good, successful-wise anyway, and that is I learned to lie tremendously.
Oh, to who?
To my wife. And the reason for it is because there's a lot of instances where they're apprehensive about something, and you can't understand what the apprehension is. So what I try to do is change the subject constantly. And that way, it's not keeping her off balance, but it's changing her outlook. She feels, lost at times. And when those times occur, she'll actually turn around and say, look at me in the eye and say, where's Jim? Well, I'm standing right in front of her. And I just say, oh, Jim left for a while, but I'm back. Here I am.
So she doesn't recognize you at times?
At times she doesn't, yes. And it's not that she doesn't recognize me. It's just that she doesn't see me. Somehow or other,
the brain is not processing the information correctly. That's the problem.
No. Whatever it is, like I said, the other thing I do other than lie is I keep her laughing as much as possible.
That's wonderful.
Well, I tell her stories that are wild. That's why, I mean, when I say I lie about anything just to keep her happy, just to keep her laughing. She just laughs at me. I dance around, I hop around, I do crazy things, and she loves it.
That's really great. I mean, and you said you've been married 50 years?
Not quite.
Quite?
Almost. August will be 50.
But what a love story. To be so devoted to another human being. Because I asked you earlier, what does Jim do for Jim?
Well, Jim takes care of Ida Marie. That's the main thing.
Okay.
you get me all emotional at this point, but I don't think that love is just a word. I think adoration is a better word.
That's really beautiful. Well, love is a word, but also it's the deeds that go with it, the good deeds, which is what you're doing. You adore her, but you also are doing so many good deeds for her. I know it's hard to discuss this. I just think, to me, it's so beautiful that you are so devoted to her.
And it's really too bad that people can't see Jim, because when he speaks about his wife or the things that he does for her, his face just glows.
Yes.
The love is there.
It is. And you can... You know, if you could feel it through the airways, you can see it. But also, Marge, when Marge was talking about her mother and where she listened to Jim's story, it's very emotional, too.
It is.
Very emotional. And I think that it's good to have emotions and feelings, but it's also good to know there's something you could do to channel that energy. If people are listening, like this program, Expressions of Beautiful Minds, I have people tell me, oh, I have no job, I don't work, I can't do this, or they feel like there isn't things to do in life. Think about maybe volunteering, helping somebody to work with, like this program, Expressions of Beautiful Minds, where you work with the helping people with Alzheimer's be able to express themselves through art.
And I think it's important, too, not everybody is as lucky as Jim's wife. Not everybody has somebody who can take care of them. There are so many patients with dementia in the skilled nursing facilities who have no family. The family is the employees, the staff that take care of them, and the volunteers that come in and work with them. So if you have time, that's another wonderful way to make a connection with someone. There's nothing better than having one of those patients recognize you and smile and, you know, look, see you and walk into the room and hold their hand out for you. It's the rewards so far outweigh the time that you give.
Well, I'm also a big advocate of pet therapy.
Amen.
I'm a dog lover. Excuse me. I have four Dachshunds. And I come home, you know, the feeling I get from holding my little doggies, and they're so happy and their little floppy ears. It's just, and I know that even people who have dementia, they respond to animals.
Oh, yeah.
They really do. I think that's really important. And to be able to create, like doing art it's so important. I feel it's so important to have a program. Now, you were saying, like this expressions, that actually you all train caregivers on how to help the patient express themselves through art, or you go through facilities. Marge, could you talk about that?
Yeah, it's not an easy process. I mean, if it were any one of us and we sat down and there were paints and paintbrushes, we'd know what to do and we'd try to draw a picture. But that's not always the case with the patients that have dementia. So their caregivers are trained to help them learn how to use those. And the other important part of it is that the attention span of a dementia patient is normally very, very small. So it can take a year to create one piece of art. But I have seen just absolutely exquisite, exquisite artwork come from some of these patients. And I was very lucky last year that I was still at the nursing home, and one of my residents had a piece of her artwork that was up to auction, and I was able to get up and tell those people, I know this woman, I saw her working on this, and unfortunately, she had passed away 2 weeks before our event, so we were able to share that with the family, which they were so pleased. We made good money on that. It was going to go to help other people, so it was just another way to give back.
Now, you said they have two events, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an event coming up, which I know I have the invitation, right? It's the third annual gala dinner dance and auction on April 27th. And it's going to be at Kingsgate Golf Club Grand Ballroom. If someone out here wants to get these tickets, what do they do?
They can contact the Arts and Humanities Council either by phone, or they can go online to the Arts and Humanities Council. Tickets are $100 a piece. That includes your dinner. There's a cash bar. We are very, very blessed to have Wilson Williams, Versteel Whitaker, and Sasse from the Platters to perform for us. So they'll be dancing, music. They'll be live as well as silent auction items. And of course, the best part is being able to look at these beautiful pieces of artwork and hopefully take one home and put it in your house to remind you of some of the things that are really most important in life.
Jim, you went last year, you said.
Yes, I did, yeah. And it was an unusual event. It really was. It's funny because you sit there and you look around and you see so many people with smiles. It's amazing. It really is. And, you know, at the same time, there's a lot of people there with Alzheimer's. And they're sitting there and then laughing, enjoying themselves. And it's a great opportunity for a lot of people to understand what the disease is. When I got Ida Marie involved in classes, she had to step up because about 30 years ago, one of her hobbies was heart. And she did about 12 paintings.
Oh, she did paint.
Oh, yeah. And she went to sand sculpting, and she went to stained glass. I mean, she was just a very hands-on person, and she was really, really very adept at doing different things. And today, she can't even remember how to sign her whole name, but she can sign Ida Marie, but it's such a jumble, you can't understand it.
Aww.
And yet, here's the thing. At the art classes, what she's doing is finally, and I mean fine, F-I-N-E, finally drawing, and it's a straight line, and yet her name is just a mass of humps when she signs it.
And yet
her hand is so steady when she's doing the artwork. It's amazing.
That is really amazing.
Do you suppose, Jim, that perhaps that she's going back into memory and that she had done paintings before and done sand sculptures, and some of that is just coming out of her a little bit?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
That could be the only answer, right?
It's a revitalization of
what she did
in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Unbelievable.
That is really unbelievable. I know the actual invitation has a painting of that a lady did, and it's incredible. It's a beautiful painting of a woman, and I think the story was, I remember Pam Keller, who is on the committee, she did a program about elder law, which was a great program, by the way, for my listeners who are, I'm getting more and more regulars. She was on, and Pam is on the Expressions from Beautiful Minds Committee and the Arts and Humanities Council, and that's how I met her at that event. So she tells the story about the painting and how the lady had the dress, that she painted the dress. If I remember correctly, that was the dress that she got married in.
Yeah, actually, it was her daughter who made the painting from a photograph to try to reach her mother.
Oh,
and her
I
mother
see.
Recognized it.
She, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
But it's really, it was really nice. It's very, very nice. Talking about the impact, not only on a spouse relationship, what about the impact of your wife's illness on your children and how your family, too, you were talking about, Marge?
Yeah, I was the only one of the three siblings that actually lived down here with my mom. My sister kind of did a lot of the emotional pieces of it because that was her relationship with my mother, as I was more the doer, the caregiver. My brother couldn't deal with it at all, so unfortunately didn't have the same level of interaction as we did.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Did they volunteer to come or?
Oh yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate. I have a good home life. I have a husband who's very supportive, who absolutely adored my mother, and she thought he was wonderful. I think probably one of the most difficult things for me with my mother is the last 5 years of her life, she had a mantra, and it was, I want to kill myself.
Oh.
And she would sometimes just rock and say that and say that, and it was very, very difficult to hear. And I didn't always have the patience that I could have or should have. And that's when my husband would step in, and I can remember at Christmas time, she loved Christmas lights. She was like a kid at Christmas, and when we'd have her home for dinner and we'd be taking her back for the evening, she'd be sitting in the front seat with Stan going, oh, I want to kill myself. And then she'd go, oh, look at those beautiful lights. And then it'd be, oh, I want to kill myself. Stan, you're a really good driver. So, for me, she had a way about her that was humorous. And I have just so many stories about her. And when I do training for customer service and things like that, I'm able to draw on that.
Yes.
So it keeps her alive every day in my heart.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. We're going to take a quick little break. So everybody, tell everybody, get on the phone, call them, tell them to listen to the program.
You are listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. Feel free to follow up on today's show by visiting their website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com, all one word, and spelled T-R-I-A-N-A. Also, we'd like to remind you that this is a live medical talk show. You're invited to participate. Our phone lines are open. Call now at 941-206-1580 or toll free 888-441-1580. And now, here is your host, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Hello, everyone. We're back again. We took a little break. We have two fabulous guests. We have Marge Davis and Jim Duffy. And our topic today is Alzheimer's disease, dementia. We've been speaking about the impact on the family. Also, this wonderful group, which is from the Arts and Humanities Council, they have an art therapy training program, and it's used to enrich the lives of those with dementia. And I know, Marge, you're on the council, right?
Not on the council, just on the committee.
On the committee. Mm-hmm. But you are helping to plan this event?
Yes. I was very lucky that I'd known Pam Keller before, and we'd worked on some things before. So it's been a real experience, because we've learned how to put on a black tie event, how to reach out to the community and try to get support, whether it's having someone come to the event and enjoying themselves and purchasing artwork or auction items, or actually going around to local businesses and asking for items to donate that we can auction off.
Okay. I know that you have incredible trips, even one to Paris, France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's new this year. So that'll be at the live auction.
Wow, that is really incredible. And also going to a wine escape in California and Sonoma. I mean, those are fancy trips.
Right. And the wonderful thing is it gives people an opportunity to maybe go someplace that they've never been before and they wanted to go. Depending on how the bidding goes, it can be extremely affordable. And the best part is that a big portion of that goes towards the event, towards those dementia art program creations.
Plus, you'll have art there from patients with dementia.
Right.
And those will be auctioned off, right?
Yes, they'll be on display. Some of them will be just sold outright. Others will be through live auction as well. And there'll be all kinds of things for silent auction items. We've had spa packages, weekend packages. Last year, we had some beautiful cheesecakes. I mean, jewelry. Some of the artists actually in the community, our professional artists, will donate as well. So there's a lot of different things to choose from. And like I said, it's a great time. There's music. There's dancing.
We have a caller.
Yay.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes.
Dr. Triana.
Yes.
As a person in my mid-80s.
Yes, sir.
I simply wanted to thank you so very much for this program and for those wonderful people you have on.
Oh, thank you.
Please ask them to also accept my thanks for the program. It is just a wonderful show, and they are wonderful people.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Triana.
Thank you so much, caller.
All right.
Thank you. I feel very blessed when I met Marge and Jim that we're on a mission here to bring knowledge to everyone and the experiences that people have, we each go through. You know, when Jim was telling me about his wife, she battled RSD, which was a disease. She was in a wheelchair. And then you told me she started walking, and then she found out that she was diagnosed, am I correct, with the Alzheimer's?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, it was 5 years after she got out of the wheelchair that she learned that, or I should say we learned that she had Alzheimer's. And at that point, her father had dementia, and her mother, we knew, had dementia. To be honest about it, her father would not be diagnosed. He would not go see a doctor. He was very belligerent.
Oh.
And
denial.
Denial, yes. And.
Oh, we have another caller. Excuse me.
Sure.
Yes, caller.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good program. It reminds me of something, a little quick story. My mother-in-law, 10 years ago, passed away with Alzheimer's, and she always called me Fritz. Now, that's not my name, but she knew somebody in Wisconsin by the name of Fritz, and we'd sit down to play cards, and she would play bridge with the best of them.
Oh, my goodness. Even to the very end?
up until the time that she passed away, within a month's time, she would play bridge, and I would try to fool her, and I'd say, two clubs. Well, she said, you can't bid two clubs. I've already bid one spade, you know. But she would play bridge like a pro.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
She knew nothing else. I mean, she did not recognize her husband, and she kept calling me Fritz. Fritz, how's your family? I said, my name is not Fritz. It's Dallas. Oh, I thought she was Fritz. And then she'd say, well, Fritz, how are you doing?
Oh, jeez. Well, that's...
It was amazing how she could play bridge. And I just sat there in amazement, you know. And she enjoyed it so much, and she knew how to do that. But it's a quick story.
Well, thank you for sharing.
They do have fun sometimes.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, caller.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's beautiful because, like you were saying, your wife can draw a straight line, but she can, unfortunately, can't even sign her name. So this lady could play bridge.
My mother-in-law, incidentally, was a singer. She loved to sing. And for the last 4 years, what she did was, and three of them were spent in a nursing home, he'd say, Jenny, would you sing for me? And she'd sing all the Italian songs.
Oh.
And she knew all the words. And then she would, at the end, she would sing Singing in Rain. Oh. And she went through the whole song. It was amazing. And yet she'd look at me and she'd say, who are you? And I'd say, I'm the chauffeur. I jokingly call myself the chauffeur. And she'd say, oh, yeah, you want to take us out for a ride? You know.
Oh, my goodness.
And she could do that. But she couldn't remember my name, didn't know me most of the time. But that's the way it goes. That's why I picked up the idea of always joking with my wife. I constantly joke with her because it takes her mind off her fears. And I know she has fears. When she turns around and looks at me and says, where's Jim? She's lost.
I hear that because their minds are not processing, like we said, the information. And then from the recesses, it starts off with short-term memory loss. And then eventually the long-term memory loss. And then also you told me that when you bathe her, she doesn't realize it, right?
Yes. No, she doesn't. I have to bathe her. And as I mentioned, if I put her in the shower by herself, she just stands under the water and doesn't know how to use soap or a washcloth or anything. So it's just, you know, you have to take care of her. And but that's okay. That's part of life.
And I think, too, people don't realize that as a caregiver, Jim has to toilet his wife to make sure that she doesn't become incontinent and that she doesn't end up with skin breakdowns and wounds and things. It's a 24/7 job. And I think what touched me the most when we were talking with Jim before the show was when Dr. Triana asked you, what do you do for Jim? Everything you did for Jim was for your wife. This gentleman has no time to himself. He's not read a book or a newspaper in the longest time because every minute of every day is devoted to taking care of his wife. And my hat is off to you because you're a rare gentleman.
Well, I don't think I'm rare, but maybe I am. But the old story, right? It's for better or for worse. And if it's going to be worse, try to make it better. Make it livable.
What advice would you give to somebody if their spouse or their parent, let's say their spouse, what advice would you tell them when you first find out that this person has this diagnosis?
Well, look for help because there's a lot of help out there and it seems like it's hidden. And it does take some time to ferret it out, but there are places where you can get some help. And this morning I learned of another place from Marge. So, you know, the point is you've got to get off your butt and do things. You can't let this thing defeat you. What this yeah, it's a terrible disease, but at the same time, you've got to face it and look around and get some help. And there is a lot of help around. You can say, well, gee, you know, it costs you money to do this, it costs you money to do that. How much does it cost you to get in a nursing home? I don't want my wife in a nursing home if I can avoid it. So it's a lot cheaper for me to get some temporary help and have the luxury of the person that I love, you know.
Well, it's, you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing. But you still need to have time for yourself. You're a human too. You have needs, wants. And I think it's, you're really giving of yourself. As I always say, the love, you're showing your love through good deeds. But I know that Marge was saying there are some resources, like you said, get help. You were talking about 211?
Yeah, 211 is a number that you can call, and it's an amazing resource because it can help you find those resources in the community, things to do. There's a great program in Charlotte County called Hope Pace, and they have daycare for adults. Right now, Jim's getting little pieces of respite, and he's using those to get all the things done in the house and the chores and the groceries.
Okay.
But if he could find a little bit more, even a few hours a week, maybe go to a movie, maybe just go out and, you know, with a buddy and have a cheeseburger. Those things, if you can't take care of yourself, eventually you're not going to be able to take as good a care of your wife. And I think caregivers forget that because they're so involved with their loved one.
Well, what happens also, how do you plan for, I mean, God forbid something should happen to you and you're the caregiver. How do you plan for that?
Well, one thing I've done is that I have the Red Dot program, which is in the county. And that's a red dot on my front door. If anything happens to me, and of course you keep your neighbors advised of what you're doing, which I do all the time. We go out with neighbors constantly. We go out to dinner and things like that.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, it's not me sitting around waiting for my wife to do some action and me to cover the action. What I've tried to do is try to live a normal life with my wife. And so we go to functions, we go to affairs. All my friends and neighbors are aware of my wife's situation. They treat her terrific.
Great.
Once a month, where we live, they have a ladies' mystery luncheon, and she's the hit of the show because everybody wants to sit at the same table. The cheese is hitting it. You know?
Oh,
yeah. That's awesome.
So she's socializing too. That's great.
Yeah, sure. So, and we're intermingling with people. We can't go and play cards with somebody because she doesn't know how to play cards. She doesn't, not anymore. She doesn't. But, you know, we visit. We go to friends' house for dinner, and we have conversations. And all of a sudden, my wife will stand up and she'll say, "I don't care about this. I'm leaving."
Oh.
And it just happened the other night. It's happened before. But and I just say, "Well, everybody, I think we're leaving."
Yeah, Jim has a real good ability to deal with that. We talked earlier about how cruel some people can be. You know, mm-hmm. there for the grace of God, as you said, Dr. Triana.
Yeah, I say there for the grace. My mother taught me and father at a very young age, there for the grace of God go I. You know, if you see someone who's having problems, you try to help them. Hold the door for them. The other day I went to a movie and the poor lady, she couldn't hold the door open to the bathroom stall and with her walker. So I said, "Can I help you?" And she was just, you know, the reward I got from her, the smile from mm-hmm. here to there.
Yep.
It was so nice. You know, and there was people walking right by her, didn't even, like, they had blinders. They wouldn't even look at the poor lady. And I said, "Can I help you?"
Yeah.
Just a simple little word.
People are afraid of what they don't know. They're afraid of what they don't understand.
True.
It's sad. I think one of the most important lessons I learned when I was working with the residents at the nursing home is I used to see people like Jim coming in and sitting like 8-10 hours a day with their spouse who was not communicative. And I mean, 7 days a week, week after week, month after month. And I'm thinking, I love my husband, but I'm not so sure I could do that. And then I was talking with a family one evening, and they had brought in a photo album. Their mother was our resident, and mm-hmm. she, you know, had a few strands of hair left, you know, most of her teeth were gone. And I went over to see how they were doing, and my resident showed me the book, and it was a picture of her. Well, I know I'm going to date myself, but all of you who remember who Rita Hayworth was?
Oh, yes.
In her day, this woman was the spitting image. She was one of the most beautiful women I think I've ever seen a photo of. And that's when it clicked for me. Jim sees his wife as he saw her the day he first met her, the day he married her, all these years that they've had a wonderful life together. He's not seeing what those strangers see outside, and we need to look beyond that.
So we have another caller here. Thank you, caller. What's your question?
This is your mother, and I think this is the best show you've ever had.
Oh, Mom.
I am so proud of you that you care so much. And let me tell you something. That gentleman there is not a man. He's a saint.
Oh.
Thank you, Betsy.
You did a wonderful job to make your daughter this way.
Yes.
It started there.
So caring. I'm very proud of her. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you.
You should be proud.
Thank you. My mom is really wonderful.
We're so lucky.
I'm very lucky. You know, I have a prevention center, the Triana Prevention Center. I'm a family physician. And one of my passions is to help prevent disease and illness. And unfortunately, there's no cure for this illness, Alzheimer's, but there are things we can do in our lives that we can try to prevent getting to that point. It's mostly a genetic problem, the Alzheimer's, but everything we do to prevent heart disease, smoking, no smoking, controlling diabetes, controlling your blood pressure, because if you don't control your blood pressure, your brain is stressed. Watching your cholesterol, watching your blood sugar. And my passion comes because my father passed away in, it'll be 2 years, from heart disease. So I saw my dad being sick. So to see your mother having Alzheimer's, I can feel it in my heart. Mm-hmm. And to have your wife, but yet you're so, both of you, you take the so caring. You take care of your wife, even washing her, cleaning her. You know, that is incredible.
Well, she would do it for me, so that's just the way I look at it. She wouldn't, look, I mentioned earlier that I had an alcohol problem, and I haven't touched anything in 28 years, so. But she was the reason why, you know, I was able to defeat it, and I quit smoking 6 days before John Kennedy was killed. Why? Because of her. You know, it's just, you know, you just can't cast these things aside. These are important milestones in my life that I live with, and would not have been able to be here today except for her. Good countenance, or whatever you want to call it.
So she did good deeds for you too.
Sure, sure. So I'm just trying to pay back a little, just not much, but a little.
Oh, I think that's really, as I said, this is a tremendous love story, mm-hmm. and everyone around, I want you to remember, it is about love. When you have somebody who's ill and you're taking care of them, it is about love.
And it's about the whole person. It's not just their disease.
Right.
Yeah.
That we are, you, just like you said, the whole person. We have to look at the whole person. And for you to say, we're going to go out and socialize. And I mean, I was in shock when you told me that sometimes people are not kind. They're not kind when they see somebody in a wheelchair or see somebody whose behavior may not be what they think is, quote, socially acceptable. I still say, there for the grace of God go I. How do we know one day it might not be us who needs somebody to say, I need help. Can you open the bathroom stall for me? Or can you help me get in a car? How many times do we see that where people will run right by you in the grocery store and you see the people with walking slowly?
And generations ago, people would have said, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble. Can you help me? But I think because so many of us have gotten so insensitive and don't want to become involved and keep walking past, that people have stopped feeling that they can ask. So it's up to the rest of us to just go and do. You don't have to ask. You just go. You get the door.
Right.
Well, you know, it's funny because I got my wife used to wearing a bib. I call it an apron. So she eats all her meals with an apron because I do the wash, and sometimes they just can't get the stains out with the food because she gets sloppy. And so we go in the restaurant. She's got an apron on. And I've heard comments, and I just ignore them unless it gets a little strong. But I hear, why is that woman wearing a bib?
Oh.
No, I just, that just goes back to what you said about people don't think. They're too dumb to think. And that's there's no other word for it, because if you were raised properly, you would never do that.
And if you go to Red Lobster, you get one anyway.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
So maybe, you know, Jim, maybe in solidarity, why don't you walk in with a bib too?
Well, you know what?
You know what?
My wife gets embarrassed.
No, but yeah. I mean, no, did you have one on?
Oh, yeah. I always say to her, you want me to wear a bib? Oh, no. You don't need one.
Just wear an old 1950s tie or something like that.
One of the big wide ones?
Big wide ones, right. Yeah, that would work.
I still have them.
Oh, we're sure.
Oh, you do.
Doggone right, use them.
Well, I remember as a kid, my mother would make us little smocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so maybe we should have a day for solidarity, and we all wear a bib for every person who gets a little sloppy, you know? Yeah. So we're all humans. At least she's trying. She hasn't given up.
No.
You haven't given up. Marge, because of her experience, is giving of her time to a committee, because I know that's a lot of work and time, putting together a social event. Let me tell you, you're doing it because of the way your mother's experience touched your heart.
And I certainly encourage everybody in this community to come on out and support us. You know, if you can't make it to the event, buy a ticket. Give it to a caregiver. Just go over and sit with that person's loved one who needs to be supervised. Let them have an evening out.
That's a great idea. And I want to remind everybody, what is the event? The event is the 3rd annual Gala Dinner Dance and Auction on Saturday, April 27th at 6:30 p.m. And one of our guests today, unfortunately, because of her job, Pam Keller, was going to be here today. And she also is on the committee.
She's actually our chair.
Oh, she's your chair.
Yes.
She and I, as I said, she did an awesome program about elder law. Because of her work today, she was unable to attend the program. But we want to thank her so much for even, you know, she got this group together. And I just met both of you. I had met you before at the fashion show. And I met Jim this morning. And it's just an honor, really, to have you both on the program.
Thank you.
To be so open and to give of your heart.
Well, we must thank you, frankly, because I think that it's really important for people to understand that Alzheimer's is just a disease. It's not the end of the world.
It's not contagious.
Oh, no. Yes.
It's not funny. You know, very few people, if they were to stop and really think about it, have a circle that goes four or five people wide where someone doesn't have dementia or Alzheimer's. And it could very well end up to be them or the person that they love. And sometimes we need to stop and think about that before we open our mouths.
I think that's very important. I think we know that this program is to help these patients whose brain is not functioning correctly to be able to express themselves through art. And I want everyone, Jim, when you say that, it is a disease. It's not the end of the world. It's not infectious. I actually had a patient ask me, is Alzheimer's contagious? I said, no, absolutely not. And when you are out there and you see someone who needs help or a caregiver who's trying to help, say, can I help you? What can I do? Little words that mean so much. If someone says to you, Jim, can I help you?
They probably can.
They probably can. And you would say yes?
I'd say yes, and I'd say thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Those are such beautiful words. Thank you. And can I help you? We need to remember that. We live in an area where there's many people over the age of 65. I grew up here in Charlotte County. I remember we had the highest density of people over the age of 65. And I, because of my relationship also with my grandmother, who was wonderful, she took me to Europe and she ended up passing at almost 97. Her brain was so incredible. But can I help you? It's so important. I want to thank you all. We're about to close the show. Any parting remarks that you would like to say, Jim or Marge?
Just thank you. I be honest, I work all day. I had not listened to your show. Didn't really know what it was all about. I think you're doing a wonderful, wonderful thing for this community. I think people need to know more about the different disease processes that are affecting us all. Thank you so much.
And Jim, thank you.
Oh, I want to just thank you for the opportunity to say hello and to let people know that, hey, you can do some things.
Thank you so much, everybody, and stay healthy.